I am Jim Rome. We start hour number three. You know, I said to the XR4TI, I said to the crew during the break, you know what? I don't say this very often, but that was actually a very good segment of phone calls. And then old man Rit pipes in. Rit hasn't learned that you don't speak unless spoken to. He just speaks whenever the hell he wants. Rit pipes in with, two of the three were good. What, you mean that one where the guy called you a fat slob was not good? Welcome to the show. We start hour number three. I am Jim Rome. The program is brought to you by Rockin Mortgage. By Quicken Loans, Rockin Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I don't want to get greedy, but we did have a great phone call segment. So if you want to take your shot, I'll even run it back. It is toll free. It's good in the U.S. It's good in Canada. 1-800-636-8686. Before I do that, however, I've got something way more important to do. We are joined right now by an all-pro, a Pro Bowler, 10-year NFL vet. He led the NFL in interceptions in 2014. He is a two-time Good Guy Award winner with the Lions. He was the 112th pick overall in 2009 out of New Mexico. He is host of the YouTube show, The DB Room. Glover Quinn is my guest. Glover, it's great to have you back. How are you?
Good, man. How you doing?
Good, good. All right, so we're 2 days away from the Texans facing the Lions in Detroit on Thanksgiving on CBS. These are your two former teams. What's it like for you to see them go up against each other?
You know what? It's actually not too bad. You know what I'm saying? I don't have anything against any of these organizations. You know, I had a great time when I was in Houston and, you know, forever grateful because they were the team that gave me my first chance, you know, and then I had a great time when I was in Detroit. They were the team that gave me my second chance and you know, allowed me to continue on in my career. So it's been fun, you know, to watch those teams play on Thanksgiving. I remember being a part of that game back in 2012, you know, with the Texans and going out there to play and then going on and playing in the Thanksgiving game the next 6 years in a row. So it's just a huge tradition in Detroit, you know, getting to play that Thanksgiving game, starting the Thanksgiving slate of games off. So it just be fun to watch them play. And you know, both teams are kind of, you know, struggling right now, need to get a win. So, you know, we'll see how it goes.
Glover Quinn is joining us. He's host of the YouTube show, The DB Room. I'm going to ask you about that matchup in a minute. But, I mean, obviously as fans, we love Thanksgiving Day football. As a player, what are those games like? Does it feel really different from every other game on the schedule? Or do you try and treat it like it's not? Like, as a player, what did that feel like?
You know, for us, when I was in Detroit, it was a huge game, you know, but it's also a Thursday. It's a Thursday game, but it's not a typical Thursday game because most of the time you play at 8 o'clock or whatever on the East Coast. So you get, you know, almost a full day on Thursday. Whereas this game, you know, you're playing at, you know, 12:30 actually, in the morning. So it's a quick turnaround from Sunday. Luckily you don't have to travel, but the tradition is just so big in Detroit. You know, they have parades and all types of performances and, you know, it's real special how they do it out there. And so as a player playing for the Lions, it's kind of a huge deal. You know, when you're traveling, I know when I came as a Texan, I was just happy that we were getting to play at 12:30 so that hopefully I can get back home and enjoy Thanksgiving dinner that night.
Right.
And, you know, kind of get to enjoy the rest of the weekend because you've already played your game. So that's kind of how it was for me on the opposing side. And then, like I said, being a part of it, it's just such huge tradition. You want to go out, you want to play well, and it's a big deal for Detroit.
That's a great breakdown. That's cool. Glover Quinn joining us. So where does that leave that team? For instance, they're coming off a shutout loss to the Panthers. They've lost 3 of 4. They're in last place in the division. As you watch the Lions right now, what kind of thoughts do you have?
You know, it's kind of how they've always been in the last couple of years. You know, they got some talented guys, but defensively, sometimes they struggle closing out games, you know, stopping people. And then offensively, you have, you know, plenty of weapons, but it kind of feels like to me that they still be looking for their identity. You know, are they going to let this team be ran by Matthew Stafford and let him throw the ball all over the place? Do they want to be a running team and feature, you know, DeAndre Swift or Adrian Peterson or Kerryon Johnson? Are they going to, you know, I know he's hurt right now, but Kenny Golladay is a big-time piece in his offense. Marvin Jones, You know, so you got to boost the receiving core, but it kind of just seems like it's kind of all over the place. And to come off a shutout, you know, loss, you know, I know those guys are going to be, you know, excited to get back out there and get to play. You know, lucky for them, they have a short turnaround, so they got to kind of forget it and move on really quickly. But you just hope it don't carry over to this week and you come out and have another, you know, poor performance and you lose two games in a row in the span of 5 days.
Glover Quinn joining us. I mean, to your point, that's a team with talent. That's a team with talent that they're pretty far down the road not to have an identity. So when you look at the head coach, Matt Patricia, do you feel like this guy can get this thing turned around, or is he essentially a dead coach walking?
You know, that's tough to say. You know, when you say get things turned around, I don't feel that, because, I mean, it's kind of been the same since day one. Zach probably went downhill. You know, my last year in Detroit was his first year, and I think we won 6 games that year. You know, and then they came back last year. I think they won 3, and then they won 4 this year. And I know Stafford was hurt, you know, a majority of the year last year. But I don't know. I don't know if he is the guy. But, you know, I'm not the one to sit here and say, hey, fire him or whatever, because the Lions have shown that that's not what they're interested in doing right now. And so there's no point of continuing to beat that dead horse. If the Lions don't want to make a move, then obviously Lions fans are going to have to hope that they can, you know, halfway turn around to win some games. I know they went into these last 2 games feeling like they had a good opportunity to get above 500, right? You go 4-5, you play against Carolina, and you got Houston, 2 struggling teams, where you feel like, hey, we can win 2 games in 5 days, and now we're sitting 6-5, and you never know what could happen. So this is going to be a big game for them to have to try to win to at least get back to, you know, 5-6 or whatever it may be, and try to at least kind of stay in some kind of hunt.
Glover Quinn is joining us on the program. You know, your show, your YouTube show, is really interesting because you can break it down and get into the technical aspects of the game. Earlier this season, you had Viking safety Harrison Smith on the DB room. As one safety looking at another, what makes Smith unique and special?
Well, the thing I like about Harrison that, you know, I've always liked about him is just he's a consistent guy, and he plays the game the way it should be played. Plays hard, plays physical. And the thing that, you know, when you look at Harrison, he's not one of those guys that's just going to jump off the tape as doing something spectacular. He's going to be the guy that jump off the tape because you're like, man, every time he has an opportunity to make a play, he makes that play. You know, they put him in a situation to make plays in the backfield, he makes those plays. They put him in situations to make plays in coverage, he makes those plays. And so, to me, that's the type of player that you like. You know, every now and then you get those guys that, you know, it's boom or bust, right? They're going to make a spectacular play, but they're going to miss so many routine plays. You know, whereas you look at a guy like Harrison, like I said, he's not going to just wow you off the field with his athleticism and all those things, but his consistency, his effort, his IQ is going to be top notch, and he's just going to consistently make the plays to help his team.
Well, I'll tell you a guy that will wow you off the field. Somebody else, Glover, that you had on your program recently, Calvin Johnson. Calvin Johnson stopped by. Hard to imagine that it's already his 5th season in retirement. You two played together in Detroit. You talked about the difference between Calvin Johnson and Megatron. Lay it out for us. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, I've always been intrigued by that. You know, and not to get off the cabin, but I had Tyrann Mathieu on as well, and I was intrigued by the difference in Tyrann Mathieu and the Honey Badger, because, you know, as Americans, you know, we give these athletes, these players, these names, these characters that, you know, based off of how they perform, right? And so on one side, hey, I'm just Calvin Johnson. I'm just a guy that, you know, I went to Georgia Tech. I love my family. I just like kicking it, having a good time, not real crazy or this or that. But then on the football field, I'm Megatron. I'm this massive monster beast, you know, that I've shown to be on the football field. And sometimes it's hard for fans to separate that because they see you off the field and they assume that you're Megatron. But he's like, nah, I'm just Calvin. So it's a weird dynamic, and I'm always so fascinated at how people deal with that. How do you not get caught up in saying, okay, I'm going to be, you know, Megatron the whole time, or I'm going to be the Honey Badger the whole time? You know, how do you switch off and just be like, man, I just want to be Calvin. Like, I just want to be me right now. I don't want to be Megatron right now. So I'm always fascinated by that. So a lot of times when I talk to those guys that have those names that, you know, everybody knows them for, I want to know how they feel, you know, being Calvin Johnson and being Megatron. And, you know, most of the time they'll always tell you, I never really even, you know, cared about the nickname. Like, they just started calling me that, and so I just kind of went with it. You know what I'm saying? So it's a weird dynamic, but it's very interesting to me.
Well, I'm with you. I think that's fascinating myself, and I'm really glad you brought up Tyrann Mathieu. Like, I'm not looking to air any dirty laundry or anything like that, but just admission, Glover. You're in this side of the business now, but it's different because you are who you are and you play the game. You'll always have access. Doing what I do is interesting in that we have access to a lot of guys, and then situations change, and through no fault of their own, guys that we had access to, sometimes we no longer have access to, and I know this is in part that they don't get the request. And I bring this up because you mentioned Tyrann Mathieu. I've long been fascinated by the Honey Badger / Tyrann Mathieu. I think he's an incredible player and an incredible personality and an incredible presence. And my man's overcome so much on and off the field. And it kind of disappoints me that I can't get to him now and talk to him about these things, but I can talk to you about him. When you watch him play, what makes him unique? I mean, like, he's an unbelievable athlete, but when you look at his technique, you look at his mentality, you look at his playmaking ability, what do you think when you watch him play?
I mean, he's a fiery guy, you know. He plays with a chip on his shoulder. You know, when you look at the grand scheme of defensive backs and safeties, he's actually an undersized guy. But he's been that way his whole life. I see a guy that's versatile. And he's relished in that role. You know, he can do so many different things. He can blitz off the edge. He can play physical in the box. He can play deep in coverage. You know, he can cover guys one-on-one. So to me, that right there marks a great safety. You know, you have some guys who excel in the box, but they don't excel in the deep part of the field as a safety. And then you have some guys that excel in the deep part, but they don't excel in the box. So when you have that safety that you can put him deep, you can put him, you know, down in the box, you can blitz him off the edge, you can have him cover guys, you can do so many different things. Like, it just makes you more valuable as a person, more valuable as a player. And I just think, you know, the way he plays the game, he plays to me like a guy that's had a second chance. You know, he doesn't play like he takes the game for granted. He plays like he loves the game. And he actually talked about this when I had him on the show, about when he did get kicked out of LSU, how, you know, that was his first time not having football. And, you know, you kind of realize just how much it really does mean to you to have that taken away, and you're wondering, are you going to even get to play again? And so when you get the opportunity to play again, you know, you kind of don't want to mess it up, you know. And then you look at, you know, being in Arizona, you know, injury, boom, you get cut, and it's like, man, I got cut. It probably evokes some of those feelings again of not having football. And so he's really, you know, taken on these last few years, going from Houston to Kansas City and just transforming that defense, giving them some personality, giving them some attitude, leading them to a championship, a Super Bowl, and to be named team MVP when you play on the same team as a Patrick Mahomes. Like, that's incredible. It just shows the type of player he is, the type of person he is, for his teammates to respect him like that. But I also think that shows the type of person and player that Patrick Mahomes is, for his teammates not to feel like they're disrespecting Patrick Mahomes by voting Tyrann Mathieu as the team MVP. So I think that shows the dynamic that those guys have in Kansas City.
Glover, one last thought. When a guy gets cut, generally speaking, I'm not asking you to paint a broad stroke over every single guy in every single situation. Generally, though, if a really good player gets cut, and it's not at the end of their career, but when they know they can still play, how often does that person, like, it's going to hurt, right? It's going to hurt your pride. You might even lose some confidence, even at the highest level. But at some point, you're going to turn that thing on its head, and you're going to use it for fuel. You ever see a really good player get cut and was never the same after that, like, never got that mojo back?
You know, I can't name anyone off top, but I know it happens. And I think, you know, if you study the game and you understand the business of football, most of the time as veterans or just people that know, you kind of know when you got a chance to be cut. And it's not – sometimes it's not a knock against you as a player. It's just the situation, right?
It's the math, right?
Right, it's math, right? You look at Tyron, he signed a big deal in Arizona. He was making a lot of money, counting a lot against the salary cap, but he's coming off some injuries. You know, he had ACL, I think, multiple times. And so as a team, as an organization, you're having to figure out, okay, is this guy that's coming off these injuries, is he still worth $16 million? You know, and so a lot of times it's not that you can't play, it's just that you've been injured or you've been in different situations that haven't allowed you to play or haven't allowed your value to be shown, and we just don't want to take that chance. And now he's been healthy, and I think that did put an extra chip on his shoulder, so it didn't take him long to just regain what he always knew he had. He just needed to get healthy. And once he done that, you know, he betted on himself, took a one-year deal in Houston. You know, that's big for players, especially in their prime, to take a one-year deal because, like I said, you're basically betting on yourself. I'm either going to ball out or I'm not. And he bet on himself, and you know, he turned that into a huge payday with the Kansas City Chiefs. So, you know, when you kind of know and expect it, being cut don't really hurt as much. It's the guys that, you know, feel like, you know, they're in the top of their game, and then all of a sudden I get cut, and you're like, hold on, why did I get cut? Like, I've been balling. Like, was I not balling? Like, what happened? Why did you cut me? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
those are the ones I feel like struggle to come back because now their mind is messed up. Like, man, I thought I was playing well and I got cut.
That's what I was getting at, exactly. That's exactly what I was getting at. Glover Quinn, kind of, we're just kicking it old school, man, going long form. I didn't mean to keep it this long. One last follow-up because this is such a good conversation. Watching Patrick Peterson on Monday night, and I'm not looking to put you in a bad spot, did it look to you like maybe he may have lost a half step, or are we just talking about DK Metcalf and this dude being a beast?
I mean, I think, you know, it's a little bit of both. You know, I think it's a little bit of both. Patrick Peterson is a guy that has done it at a high level for a very, very, very long time. And, you know, me personally, I'm a defensive back, so I'm always side, you know, with my DBs. You know, I love DBs. It's just kind of the fraternity that I feel indebted to. So I'm going to always side with my guy, Patrick Peterson. But DK Metcalf, he's on a different level right now. He's young, super explosive, super big. You know, and Patrick Peterson is a guy that has been athletically better than most people that he's faced throughout his career. And as you get older, obviously, you get over your prime, you start, you know, taking little small steps back. But when you're such a superior athlete, you're still better than most. But then when you go against a guy that's a, you know, physical specimen, sometimes some of those deficiencies can show up. And, you know, DK is an explosive guy. He's big. And Patrick, you know, even though he's a bigger corner, he's never really been looked at as a super physical corner that's trying to get his hands on people and really, like, disrupt them. He's always just been an athletic guy that can just run and cover everybody. And so you saw some plays that, you know, DK got on him, and that's a part of being in the NFL. That's a part of being a top guy. You're going to place all the top guys, and sometimes they're going to win, and sometimes you're going to win. But I think Pat P will learn from that game, and if they run into each other again down the line in the playoffs or something, I think he'll definitely be prepared for it.
I lied. I thought it was something else. I was watching Troy Aikman the other night, Glover, and he was going out of his way. I mean, he made it perfectly clear that Deion Sanders was the best corner ever, period. Like, he didn't even want to hear a conversation. Have you ever seen a better corner than Deion?
You know what? I haven't in the, you know, in a, like Deion to me, because I was young when Deion was in his, like, super primes, right? When he was 95, I mean, I would say I was 10 years old. So I was a kid, right? So Deion, to me, is kind of like that Michael Jordan syndrome where he was just such a big-time guy when I was a kid. But I do remember, you know, Deion not having a reputation as not wanting to tackle guys.
Right.
Right. He was super great cover guy, super explosive, super. I used to love to watch him play. I used to hope he scored touchdowns so he can dance. I loved his personality. But like I said, he had that reputation. As a kid, it didn't matter to me. But as I got older and started to play, then I started to realize, okay, well, Deion was a great cover guy, but he didn't really like to tackle. So then you kind of start to figure out, well, because I was a guy that had to tackle. So I'm like, okay. But, you know, when it comes to covering and being a playmaker and doing great things for the defensive back world and nation, you know, it's going to be hard for me to put anybody over Deion just because of what he means to so many people. And, you know, anytime you see that number 21 in a secondary, you already know, hey, that guy right there is probably really good, or at least you think he is.
I appreciate that response, and I agree with it. And where is the interview that goes that long on this show, but that interview was that good? He is an all-pro. He is a Pro Bowler. He is a 10-year NFL vet. And that's the type of thing you get on his YouTube show, The DB Room. It's a great, great show. Make sure you check it out. Glover, really appreciate you again. Sorry about that. Didn't mean to keep you so long. I got kind of caught up. You know, that'll happen.
Oh, you good, man. You're good. I love the conversation with you, man.
You too, man. Appreciate that, Glover. Thanks so much. Glover Quinn, that was a great NFL conversation. Great NFL conversation. And he's got a great YouTube show, once again, called The DB Room. And he had Megatron on. He had Tyrann Mathieu on. I wanted to ask him about Jim Caldwell, who we also had on. You know, guys like that. This is what I like about guys like that, Darius Butler. They have access and they have insight and they're not afraid to get in. Mix it up a little bit. Glover Quinn. All right, we'll take a short timeout. This short timeout will lead to a short segment because that was a long segment. And we're back on the clock. And it's all good. And then tomorrow is the last day of the week in terms of programming for me. So use it wisely. Let me tell you about a travel card, but no ordinary travel card. The travel card. They let you earn unlimited double miles that you can actually use. Miles that you don't even have to use for air travel. It is the Capital One Venture Card. Right now you can earn 100,000 bonus miles that you can actually use. Redeemable for things like vacation rentals, car rentals, and more when you spend $20,000 in your first year. Capital One, what is in your wallet? Let's hope it's the Capital One Venture Card. Limited time offer. Terms do apply. See CapitalOne.com for details. I've got mine. Get yours. CapitalOne.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Thanks to Glover Quinn. Got a special announcement for you quickly from Dell Technologies. Black Friday is officially here. You can save up to 50% on powerful computers with Intel Core processors that will take your small business to the next level. Call 877-ASK-DELL or go to dell.com/Black Friday. Use the phone. Use it to call me. I don't want to get greedy. We had a really good segment. When have we ever racked back-to-back-to-back calls? Not very often. But then again, when was the last time we had somebody call up to say that Ritt was a fat slob?
Fat!
And then chased out with a smack-off winner. And then chased out with a soon-to-be smack-off participant who's one of the most unique callers we've ever had. So that's how you end up with back-to-back-to-back calls. Hey, Ritt, man, you got to stop moping around back there acting like you're all bent. Hawk's the one who's taking all the heat. You were getting 96% of the vote. One guy calls you a fat slob, and now you're bent out of sorts.
Fat?
Come on, man. Come on, man. Hawk's been getting his ass kicked by the clones for 4 years, since the day he walked in here. You, on the other hand, Ritt, you at least get like 50-50 love. I mean, they beat on you for a lot of things, but man, you got to admit, you got a lot of love and a lot of reaction when you played horse and posted yourself on Twitter.
Mark it down.
Of course, you gave it all back when I gave you your own segment. But then when James Kelly sets up a hypothetical workplace fight, workplace violence, the entire internet supports you. And one guy comes on and calls you a fat slob, which frankly is not that far from the truth. And then you get all bent? Come on, man. Be better than that. Did you act like you're not going to stuff that turkey with Skittles?
Game on.
Game on. Hey, Rome Slice, the simulcast has been replaced by soccer. That bites. Regards, Johnny Rotten's Crank. Geoff and Lincoln. What do you mean? We're not on the air right now. I can see myself in program. No, I know. We had our last hour preempted. Hey, Rome. I know Matt in L.A. is a plumber. Let him know I've got a big snake if he needs to borrow it. Signed, you know who. Aaron in Iowa. You should be ashamed of yourself. Hey, Rome. That thing just shot out like a missile.
He just came out like a missile.
Regards, you know who's Speedo. Denny in the 402, you should be ashamed of yourself. Rome Slice. Ah! Searing pain!
Oh, searing pain!
Regards, Johnny Rotten every time he unzips his pants.
Oh my gosh!
Daniel tweets, that was a great in-show podcast with Glover Quinn. Are the voicemails coming next? Well done. Well played. See, was that so hard? That was far and away the best tweet of that segment. I went long form. Hey, listen, sometimes when you have... All right, let's be real. Can we be real? Sometimes we have an interview and we set aside the normal 8 or 9 minutes for
it. Let's keep it real.
And then, you know, after 4 minutes, the next four aren't going to be that good. Like, you know, we don't book people with that in mind.
Not
but sometimes
good.
They just aren't in the right headspace, or they don't show up the right way, or they're not what we think they are.
Below
and then other times,
good.
A guy is so good, or a gal is so good, and so much better than I expected. And that's why you end up hearing me say one more thing. And I keep keeping them because they're so good. Glover was dialed in. He was focused. He was engaged. His insight was incredible. He was very comfortable. He didn't have something else he would rather be doing. He was present. That's why we had an in-show podcast. That's why I ran him for like 20 minutes, because he was that good and because I knew that he was open to it. That's how that happened. This guy writes, Hawk is using Greg Norman and Johnny Rotten to distract us from his awful sweater. And the fact that 96% of us think that Ritt would win in a fight. It's possible. It's possible. Jesse in El Paso jumps in. Jim, personally, we believe the cardigan sweater to be the single greatest piece of clothing ever. Signed, male cheerleaders. All right, Adam. Put them on. Even though we're not on TV, I'm really sorry that you're not on TV right now so they can see your yellow cardigan. All right, so did you go into the same thrift store? In case they missed it yesterday, you had a bright red cardigan. Now you have an equally bright yellow cardigan. Why were there all these nice cardigans available at this one store? Was it one stop?
Oh, I went to the wrong mic. It was two different stores, and I was just specifically looking for cardigans. It's amazing what you can find when you are specifically looking for one thing. So it's what we in the thrift store business like to call a pick, if you will. So I went on a cardigan pick and did
quite well.
What does
that mean, a pick?
Well, have you ever seen the show
with a fit,
American Pickers, where they just travel around the country looking for old crap and antiques that they can go sell in their own pawn shop? To go on a pick is to go looking for something specific at a used place. Like when you go on a pick for vinyl records, you're going to look through people's old records with something in mind. And
yeah,
when
you listen to them, you don't wear them.
That's fair, but like I mentioned to you yesterday off the air, I did get these cardigans dry clean. So they're as good as new now, in my opinion.
Right, so were you looking for cardigans or brightly colored cardigans? If you found a muted cardigan, would you have purchased it?
I did. I purchased yellow, red, and blue, and then I got a brown as well. So that brown is quite muted.
So what's the thing with the cardigans? How'd you get on a cardigan kick? Why?
Saw a picture recently of Arnold Palmer wearing a cardigan, and he just looked so...
You do know that's Arnold Palmer.
Yes.
And not a guy with a cat tattoo, right?
Correct. He looked...
I just hate it when people see pictures and then think, oh, man, that looks so cool. I think I could pull that off, when you can't.
Well, the nice thing about cardigans is they have sleeves, so they cover up all my horrible tattoo choices. So they're quite functional. And
all right, so when you looked at the picture of Arnie and then you looked in the mirror, were you not disappointed greatly?
Yeah. No, I was. I was. No doubt about it.
I'm not trying to take your fun away, man. No. I'm just messing around.
So no, you
got
agree
four.
With you.
All right, so good.
Yeah. Arnold, very dashing, dapper man. So I was.
Tell me again. Yellow, red, blue, brown?
That's right.
So is tomorrow blue or brown?
Blue.
So what are you saying brown for?
Thanksgiving.
Oh.
Very, very fall color.
Okay. Way to go. There you are. All right. Thank you very much. Hawk doing Hawk things. Hawk getting us to look at him. Hawk getting us to react to him. Dude, you're like a 15-year-old girl in the mall, man. You know, we're all looking at you, dude. Why don't you get a mohawk next? Or slam a javelin through your tongue. Or do whatever it is that people do to get people to look at them. Man, those are some brightly colored sweaters. But he got four of them, and he got them for $25. The fit. The fit. The get. What do you call it? The pick. Your reaction. See, lucky for you, if they weren't watching sooner, they're not aware of what I'm talking about right now because he's not on camera. We have been preempted right now for the final hour. We're off of TV tomorrow, aren't we? So, dude, why even wear the sweater? Why waste it? Hawk would say it's not about TV. It's about me. All right, then. When we return, I'm trying to talk about how I think the Lakers are better now than they were when the season ended and they had wrapped up the Larry O. They are. They're not as fun. They're not as interesting, but they are better. I may do that. Hey, listen, I've gotten this far without getting into Rotten and Norman. I really have. You don't think that I can do one more segment? You don't think I've got content for one more segment? And then I can go right over Rotten and Norman? Because I do have thoughts on these two. So there's this thing, this inherent conflict within. An inherent conflict within. Make no mistake, and never ever forget this. I love the jungle. I love this audience. I really do. I've said that many, many times on the program. I have posted about that on Instagram. I dedicated a chunk of my Hall of Fame speech to you, the clones. But as per usual, holiday breaks and vacations always seem to come at just the right time. Right when I need a break from you. And frankly, I get this too. Right when you probably need a break from me. Not as badly as I need a break from you, but you probably need a break from me too. And don't take that the wrong way. Because both of us, both sides, are always better for it on the other side. But Thursday and the four-day weekend cannot come soon enough, especially after I checked my Twitter mentions and my email yesterday. Now, you would think coming off an insane NFL weekend, I'd be getting blown up about things like Joe Burrow, Derrick Henry, Patrick Mahomes, the undefeated Steelers, and another dozen or so topical football storylines. Nope, 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 nope. Because all I saw yesterday and last night and this morning in the way of reaction were links and one-liners about former Sex Pistols frontman Johnny Rotten and PGA Tour legend Greg Norman. I like both guys. I like punk rock. I've always liked punk rock. I still listen to punk rock. And Greg Norman is a tycoon. He's a mogul and a legend. But the thing is, I could do this for another 30 years and never fully understand why you see these stories and your first thought is, oh, damn, I gotta let Rome know about this. I got to let Rome know about this because I have to hear Rome's take. And more importantly, Rome has to hear my take. First off, there is nothing that you can tell me in the way of sports and even pop culture that I don't already know. That whole thing about he's not talking about it, therefore he must know. No, I know. The reason I'm not talking about it is I don't want to talk about it. I already know. You know why I know? Because they pay me to know. It's my job to know. I feed my family on knowing things. Just because I'm not talking about it does not mean that I don't know about it. You know what it means? It means it's not show appropriate. So don't go taking a victory lap thinking that you were the one person who dialed me into that story about Johnny Rotten. Because of course I saw the headline, Johnny Rotten suffers flea bite on penis after befriending squirrels. Yes, I saw it. But unlike you, my immediately thought was, oh, hell yes. I can't wait to get to work. That's why Rome woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning the other day, so we could get to work to start thinking about his Johnny Rotten was bitten on his penis by a flea.
Can't wait.
No, that's not what that was. My reaction was not, I can't wait to get to the show and break down how dude needs a Hearts 2-in-1 collar for his rod. I didn't think, oh yeah, I'm team content. This is perfect for my sports talk show. No, but I'll tell you what I did think. I will tell you the first thing that popped in my mind when I saw that. I'll tell you the first word that popped into my mind when I saw that. Fudge. Except not that F word. I saw that and I thought to myself, bleep.
No!
Here's another topic that I'm going to have to work my ass off to fight against on my own show. And if you're one of the more mature listeners out there thinking, why not just ignore it, Rome? Don't give these people what they want. Oh, believe me, I wish I could. I won't see a straight take or get a straight phone call until I get this out of the way. It's like kind of like unscrewing the cap of a shaken up bottle of soda. You do it as slowly as possible. You hope to relieve the pressure and not make a total mess and not have that grenade go off in your face. And then you can get back to normal. Like, so you want me to talk about a 64-year-old Johnny Rotten of the Sex Pistols? Great band, by the way. Amazing band. Iconic band. You want me to talk about that guy bringing squirrels into his Venice Beach home and then getting bit on his literal sex pistol by a flea? Yeah, you want me to get into that? All right. Time permitting. Understand this, I've got no interest in the bug bite on his hog. In fact, less than no interest. I am a little bit interested, though, in a 64-year-old punk rock icon taking in stray squirrels. Like he's got them in his home. Like he's trying to domesticate them. They're pets to him. That's weird. Squirrels. You know, I mean, I don't like to generalize about anything or anybody or any group, but I will about squirrels. They're disgusting. They're caked in disease. They're actually pretty mean. And they're not meant to be some punk rock legends pets. Of course, they got fleas. Of course, those fleas started waging an invisible attack on all the skin they could find. They're fleas. And of course, genitalia has skin. How do you not see that coming, John? For what it's worth, Rotten told the UK Daily Star this weekend. I looked down at my bleep this morning, and there was a bleeping flea bite on it. And there's another one on the inside of my leg. Last night was murder because of it. The itching, too. The only way around it is to use Vaseline. End of quote. Man, I hate that story. I hate that story so much. Think of how much you hate something. Think of the thing you hate most of all, and then multiply that by a million, and you have me and my hate for that story. Like, if you thought that Johnny Rotten might remove the flea-ridden squirrels from his home after that, right? I mean, they're locking on to his sex pistol. But that's not enough to get him to eject the squirrels from the home. Quote, I'm determined to keep my squirrel friends independent. There's no petting. If they want to cuddle up, that's fine. But I know it's for a peanut and not because I'm lovely. End quote. Hey, John. And I'm not going to say time to see Mr. Rome. But I will say, hey, John, maybe the best way to keep your, quote, squirrel friends independent is to actually, I don't know, grant them their independence and let them run around back outside. It's just a thought. Because right now they're feeding on your peanuts. And their fleas are also feeding on your, well, peanuts. Bad combo, brah. Bad combo for everybody. Parrot guy, snake guy, iguana guy. They all think keeping squirrels as pets is weird. Man, let them go. If not for you, do it for your body parts that are getting devoured by fleas. Call an exterminator to burn that place to the ground because fleas are like ticks and bed bugs and roaches. Once you have them, good freaking luck getting rid of them. And yes, ghouls, I saw the picture of Greg Norman walking his dog on the beach. And yes, I saw the reason you guys are all rushing in to let me know about it. And it's not to tell me how awesome his dog is or what kind of shape he's in or how beautiful that beach is. There's no way I'm talking about this on the radio. I'm not talking about this on my pod. I'm not going to say things like Greg Norman is his own caddy and brings his own 3 wood with him everywhere he goes. I'm not doing that. There's not going to be any he's the real Greg the Leg glosses. I'm not going to say any of that. I'm not going to talk about whoever made those swim trunks definitely does not have a size in their warehouse big enough for him. Are y'all happy? Can we move the hell on? Can we talk sports tomorrow? And like I said, Thursday can't get here soon enough. As always, the long break is coming at a perfect time. And believe this, I need it much worse than you do. With the Capital One Venture Card, you can earn 100,000 bonus miles that you can actually use, redeemable for vacation rentals, car rentals, and more when you spend 20 grand in your first year. What is in your wallet? It's a limited time offer. Terms do apply. See CapitalOne.com for details. Let me start by not thanking any of you. My thanks, though, to Aaron Rodgers, Jonathan Jones, and Glover Quinn. Big day tomorrow. See you then. We're out.